It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
As you know, this is a small victory for the Trump administration. It stems from the president's executive order that he issued shortly after taking office. Again, the ban is now in effect. It affects six mostly Muslim countries. It applies to travelers coming into the U.S. from Chad, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Syria, and Yemen. Now, we should note here there were two justices who dissented from this decision, Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor. They would have left the lower court order stay in place. But because the Supreme Court, the rest of the justices, have ruled that this policy can take full effect even as legal challenges continue in those lower courts. As those challenges continue, it would suggest, though, that once they make their way to the Supreme Court again, the Supreme Court would ultimately keep the latest version of the ban the Trump administration announced in September in place. Again, the Supreme Court will allow the Trump administration to fully enforce the travel ban to the United States from those six mostly Muslim countries.
All right, that's in Fox 5, and of course, what, a small victory? I don't think so. When you get seven Supreme Court judges to agree with the decision, that's not a small victory. That's a very big victory. And I'm actually surprised, to be honest with you. This is the third travel ban the Trump administration has written, and it has finally been signed off by the Supreme Court. And yes, the reporter there was correct. It will still, the lower court rumblings will have to take place, and it may end up back in the court again. But I think just the fact that it passed, a 7-2, is pretty remarkable. So that's a good day for President Donald Trump, no question, and for the country, for heaven's sake, for the country, in order to make us safer. So at least it's a step in the right direction. There is a lot to tell you this morning, and I'm going to try to tell you as much as I can. And so I'm just going to jump right in. Of course, in the whole business of the corruption of the FBI, and I don't know what else to call it but that, the corruption of the FBI, I first want to go to a clip last night. I watched Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch on with Tucker Carlson last night. And Tom, I think I mentioned this story to you yesterday, but I want you to hear Tom tell it again. Let's listen.
Well, the FBI didn't want to give us these documents. We only found out about them through another lawsuit because the FBI, when we asked them for Clinton Lynch tarmac records, said they didn't have anything.
So they lied to you.
They lied to us.
And then, by the way, you're acting under, I believe, FOIA, the Freedom of Information.
Yeah, we had a federal lawsuit. They said they couldn't find anything. But another lawsuit about tarmac records, the Justice Department showed up, found records that involved the FBI.
So here you have a law enforcement agency ignoring federal law, just to be clear.
That's right. And they took 6 weeks to turn over the 29 pages, and they show that the FBI was more concerned about a whistleblower in the local Phoenix Police Department, they think, who was talking about the meeting and how it happened, than about the meeting itself. And they talk about trying to find the guy, and they talk about reaching out to the local Phoenix.
Trying to find the whistleblower?
Yeah, trying to find him. They wanted to get him and punish him, presumably. And then secondly, they were reaching out to the Phoenix FBI office to stem any further damage, I guess prevent any further leaks about the truth.
So the agency charged with protecting us from terrorism and crime is spending its time trying to punish people who leak its own misdeeds, is what you're saying.
That's right, and trying to prevent further leaks about the meeting between Bill Clinton and Attorney General Lynch. Remember, that meeting was never supposed to be disclosed. It was only uncovered thanks to a local, I think, ABC News reporter in Phoenix, and then you had other law enforcement back up the counts of the meeting, and that's what set the FBI off. We haven't gotten any documents showing the FBI was concerned about the meeting itself, which, according to the Attorney General of the United States at the time, General Lynch, she admitted it cast a shadow over her Clinton investigation.
As a result of that meeting.
Well, she says she did, but she actually didn't. She made the final decision not to prosecute Hillary Clinton a few weeks after meeting with her husband, a witness and putative target.
All right, that was Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch with Tucker Carlson just last night. And I'm sure you, because you pay attention to the news, I'm assuming you remember that Bill Clinton met with Loretta Lynch. Oh, it was an accidental meeting. They just discussed their grandchildren on the airport runway in Phoenix at Sky Harbor Airport. And this was right before the FBI director, James Comey, at the time, decided Mrs. Clinton was not, there was nothing wrong here. She had just been careless in her handling of her email. And so that's just a tiny bit of this. So hang on, because there's a lot more to tell you. James Rosen filled in a lot of the blanks last night, and then I have a lot more to fill in this morning. James Rosen of Fox, here it is.
As a former deputy assistant director of the FBI for counterintelligence, Peter Strzok was a major player in the investigation into Hillary Clinton's private server, even participating in Mrs. Clinton's lone interview with the FBI in July 2016.
No reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case.
And Strzok reportedly helped persuade then FBI director James Comey to forego prosecution of Mrs. Clinton. That same month, according to published reports, Strzok was one of a dozen FBI officials who received the dossier, the compendium of salacious and largely unverified allegations about Mr. Trump and his associates that was bankrolled by the Clinton campaign and the DNC, and which the FBI may have used to launch a counterintelligence probe that encompassed FISA surveillance on a Trump campaign advisor.
No collusion. No collusion.
Then Strzok became a top figure in the probe of alleged Trump-Kremlin collusion led by special counsel Robert Mueller, until July of this year, when Mueller learned Strzok had sent a colleague text messages said to be critical of Mr. Trump and supportive of Mrs. Clinton, and removed him from the special counsel team.
Now we find out the FBI had pro-Hillary, anti-Trump people at the heart of the Hillary investigation. Very troubling.
And the fact that this was one of the lead agents on the Hillary Clinton email investigation, if true, I think it's very disturbing and possibly could call for a reopening of that investigation.
Fox News reported late Saturday that the FBI Inspector General is now reviewing Strzok's role in the Clinton probe and other politically sensitive cases, with a source close to the matter saying that the review should be completed early next year.
Oh, absolutely. We've been stonewalled.
Tipped off by an informant about a potential problem with Strzok, House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes has been seeking to interview him for 2 months. Saturday afternoon, shortly after the New York Times and Washington Post reported on the incendiary texts, DOJ emailed the counsel to House Speaker Paul Ryan to say Strzok would be made available to the Nunes panel after all.
All right, so that's at least a bit of the story. That's James Rosen last night on Fox. Okay, so here, the names are confusing. We almost need a flow chart, but Peter Strzok's name is mentioned repeatedly, and you'll understand why. Peter Strzok, I started out by playing that little clip of Tom Fitton talking about the meeting of Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton on the tarmac, and that happened just before James Comey decided not to prosecute. No reasonable prosecutor, he said, would bring charges against her. And we know now that Peter Strzok was the one counseling him and actually counseled him to change the words in his statement from the use of grossly negligent to extremely careless. Now, that may not mean much to most of us, but it grossly negligent is a legal term. There could have been charges brought if they had used the terms grossly negligent, but Peter Strzok changed those words to extremely careless. Now, Peter Strzok's email messages and texts to his mistress, who, by the way, was the FBI attorney working with Andrew McCabe. Are you with me? Andrew McCabe, the one whose wife ran for Senate and got $700,000 from Terry McAuliffe. Andrew McCabe, who campaigned for his wife, which you are not supposed to do when you're with the FBI, said he didn't, but he did. Working for Democratic causes. So we've got Andrew McCabe. We've got his attorney, advisor, having an affair with Peter Strzok. They're exchanging, Peter and his mistress are exchanging email about how much they dislike President Clinton, President Trump. We've yet to know. We don't know the texts of those yet because, those things aren't being leaked. We don't know the texts of those yet, but we do know that they took place. And they were so egregious that Robert Mueller dismissed Strzok because he was the lead FBI investigator on Mueller's team to take down Trump and find collusion. Now, stay with me. So he was let go of that team in August, and people are saying it must have been pretty egregious, those email exchanges, for him to do that, because Mueller's team already contains at least nine partisans who donated to Obama, Hillary, who are on record as being totally opposed to Trump. So whatever Strzok said in those emails must have been really something. So, all right, but I digress because there's more about Strzok. It's hard to, it's S-T-R-Z-O-K, Strzok. All right, so now we know that he was advising Comey on that. But then we know that he was the person charged with overseeing the Hillary Clinton email investigation. We also know that it was Strzok who conducted interviews with Huma Abedin and Cheryl Mills. And guess what? Cheryl Mills and Huma Abedin both lied to the FBI under oath, but the response to them was, let's see, James Comey said something like, if I can get the exact quote here, you know, sometimes people just don't remember correctly. Oh, yes, here's what he said. Having done many investigations myself, there's always conflicting recollections of facts, some of which are central to the investigation and some of which are peripheral. Of course, Cheryl Mills and Huma Abedin claimed they didn't know anything about Hillary's email server, but we know in writing through their email that they absolutely did. But, you know, people just forget. According to Comey, sometimes people get confused. But let me just say that Michael Flynn, in his being interrogated by the FBI, didn't get quite as much mercy. Let me say, not quite as much. So he has pled guilty to one count of lying to the FBI. And I'll get to, back to him in just a second. I want to stay with Strzok for a second. So Strzok was the one who interviewed Huma Abedin and Cheryl Mills and decided, well, you know, nothing to see here. And I remember they returned their laptops to them. It was all very cordial. And it was also Strzok who sat in on the interview with Hillary Clinton. The one, remember, that was not under oath. The one that was not recorded. Anybody remember that? It was a Saturday. It happened quickly. And they decided there was just nothing there. But now we know it was also Strzok that who was the agent officially signed to the off on the Bureau's decision to launch its Russia investigation with the alleged collusion between Donald Trump. So that was Strzok. I think there's more about him. Well, I'll get to in just a second because I can't keep track of it all, quite frankly. It was Strzok who oversaw, which received the Russian dossier, the lying dossier, the one that was completely false. He was the one, Strzok was the one who interviewed Christopher Steele, the author of the dossier. And so, bottom line, now we know that it was Strzok who interviewed Flynn. And now we're finding out this morning that General Flynn, or at least yesterday, General Flynn had absolutely no warning that he was going to be interviewed. Now, trust me, we're going to have J. Christian Adams on with us in just a second. Maybe we'll pick it up from there with him. You don't want to go to an interview with the FBI without an attorney, but they caught General Flynn off guard. They had been working, the FBI had been working with the team in transition, trying to work on security measures. Andrew McCabe called him up and said, basically, hey, there's a couple of people coming over. They just, can they talk to you for a few minutes? And sure, General Flynn says, fine, lets them into the gate. And they come up and then he realizes they are actually interrogating him without warning. And guess who one of the agents was? It was Peter Strzok. And so it was in that dialogue that then General Flynn is accused of lying to them. And we're going to ask Christian about that in a second, about how he thought that came down. My friends who closely sourced say that Flynn did not lie. I don't know. But let me just say what others are saying about him. Michael Ledeen. While working with General Flynn on Field of Flight, that's a book they both wrote. I did an interview on that. I interviewed many of his former colleagues in order to be better understood than my co-author. Virtually all of them described a man who cared deeply about the truth and presented it in circumstances that were certainly not favorable to him. These people portrayed General Flynn as a compulsive truth teller. And so why has he now confessed to making false statements to the FBI? The USA News, you can guys can play the bumper so we can go out and get to Christian quickly. Okay, so U.S. News and World Report is saying that Flynn's guilty plea shows the deep state is real. USA Today says, if it Michael's Flynn crime is all Robert Mueller has, it's time to move on. And then the Wall Street Journal is calling for Robert Mueller to step down. It says he's not credible. I think this is really interesting. So stay tuned. J. Christian Adams, formerly with the Justice Department, will join us next. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
This Christmas, give the gift of laughter with books by J.J. Jasper and support AFR at the same time. Both Moses Was a Basket Case and Jonah Had a Whale of a Time are available now at afastore.net. These books are full of short stories and the kind of humor you love from AFR morning man J.J. Jasper.
True stories like babysitting using a dump truck, flying with the hurricane hunters, hitchhiking stories. You can't make this stuff up.
You'll laugh out loud as you fly along with private pilot J.J. and his instructor, who assumed a little too much about his student.
Oh, sure, it's funny now, but at the time, I thought I was going to die.
Order Moses Was a Basket Case and Jonah Had a Whale of a Time by J.J. Jasper at afastore.net. Order by December 12th for delivery by Christmas. At just $10 each, these books make great stocking stuffers. Order now at afastore.net or call 877-927-4917.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
Hey, my name is Aaron Abbs. I am an undecided major, and I'm a freshman here at TME. And as soon as I came here, I fell in love with the campus. Like, I knew, like, God was calling me to be here at TME. And, you know, I couldn't get a better education than this. Like, professors who pray before class, who care about your spiritual walk with Christ. You are who you are, and they care about you.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Belk, the department store chain, has decided to reverse its ban on Salvation Army bell ringers. About 4 hours after our commentary was broadcast, Belk had a change of heart. Much like Ebenezer Scrooge on Christmas Day, the Salvation Army had been initially caught off guard by the ban, fearing it would lead to a $1 million drop in donations. But thanks to you folks, the listeners of this commentary, Belk heard an earful. The company spokesman said customers spoke loud and clear about their passion for the Salvation Army. The annual Yuletide donations are used to fund all sorts of great programs, from homeless shelters to addiction programs. And, of course, your nickels and dimes and dollars also help to provide Christmas presents for boys and girls. So the bells are ringing, the coins are clinking, and Belk has found the spirit of Christmas. It's like a Hallmark movie, America. I'm Todd Starnes.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the Morning. Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio. Everybody.
It's Sandy Rios back with you. That's Messiah. That's a soulful celebration, which I always play every Christmas because I really like it. Cheers me up, and heaven knows we need cheering up. Now, I just gave you a real quick rundown of all the incredible news about the Mueller investigation, about Flynn, about Peter Strzok's participation in it, but I can't think of anyone I'd rather talk to about it than my next guest, J. Christian Adams, who is a frequent guest of ours. You see him on television often because Christian is so articulate and has a ton of wisdom. was with the Justice Department, was a whistleblower, knows what he's talking about. Christian, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Sandy.
All right. Before you join me, I went down the details so that people would be prepared for our discussion. But what do you think of all these things about Peter Strzok and the investigation? What's on your mind this morning as the thing you think is most egregious or that you want to talk about?
Well, the thing that is most egregious to me is this explains so much. This explains why Hillary didn't get what she deserved in the summer of 16. This explains why Huma didn't get what she deserved. This explains why Mike Flynn is the subject of the criminal prosecution. Look, it doesn't surprise me. I always knew that this was going on. I just didn't know the name of the person, right? I always knew there was partisan law enforcement. I just didn't know this guy's name at the time was the one responsible for it. And, you know, it just really illustrates to your listeners something I've been talking on your show about for years, and that's the power of the deep state. The deep state is a Democrat operation. It hates conservatives. It hates limited government ideas, and it goes after anybody it can that believe in those things. And this is another example.
You know, one thing that strikes me, I'm just curious. Two things. Peter Strzok, now this inspector general, uncovered these texts or email, whatever it is, with his mistress, who was the attorney working with Andrew McCabe. How ironic. Well, maybe not so ironic, but allegedly these text messages expressed Trump, let's say, disapproval, not disliking President Trump. But listen, we know, Christian, that almost all the investigators on Mueller's team are anti-Trump and pro-Obama, pro-Clinton. So what in the world could possibly be in those text messages that would bring Bob Mueller to be concerned about Peter Strzok's participation?
Well, if I had to guess, and I'm sure at some point we'll know what they are, but if I had to guess, it's the same sort of stuff anyone who lives in Washington hears all the time. I mean, folks outside the Beltway need to understand, they don't just dislike Trump, they hate him. They froth out of their mouth. They ridicule. They think he's the dumbest thing that ever existed. I mean, the level of vitriol and hatred toward President Trump knows no bounds. So what's probably in those text messages is the same sort of thing you hear inside the Beltway all the time, which, you know, orange hair, I mean, all the personal attacks, you know, the stupidity, the just rabid insanity that has occupied the Democrat Party since election night. And I'm sure that there's things like that in the text that go beyond, Sandy, simply donating to Hillary. You know, government lawyers are allowed to donate money to presidential campaigns, and that's why like 95% of Justice Department lawyer donations go to the Democrats. But when you cross the line is when you start to exhibit a crazy bias regarding a target of a prosecution that you're allegedly supposed to be impartially investigating.
I have to say, I'm dumbstruck, to use a phrase, by Strzok's involvement in so many of these things. His hands on the dossier, on the investigation of Cheryl Mills and Huma Abedin, or the interview with Hillary Clinton, the talking Comey into backing off of his wording on the charges against Hillary Clinton, and I don't think I've even thought of all of it. I'm really dumbstruck by that. So now the FBI is stonewalling and has been for months this kinds of information, and that brings us back to, let me just go to this person. The new director, Christopher Wray, has been kind of quiet. I don't think that many of us knew much about him. I heard like 2 weeks ago, Christian, from someone we mutually know that he was a good guy. Now I'm having my doubts. I want to know what you think.
Well, look, this is all a clubby group. Mueller, Comey, Rosenstein, Strzok, Wray, these are all institutionalists, Sandy. And what do I mean by institutionalists? These are people who, on balance, think that the Department of Justice and the FBI are these noble institutions, and they don't want to hear talk about threats to liberty and over, you know, power government and all of the things conservatives believe in. You know, they might say that every now and then, but they generally believe that government is good. and they apparently don't know their history. And so it doesn't surprise me at all that people like Mueller and Comey and Strzok and Ray and McCabe are all buddies, and that's how Washington works. I mean, look, it's worse than that. Peter Strzok is married to a lawyer at the SEC, Melissa Hodgman. If you want to know how the swamp works, sometimes it takes over the family. And this woman, an SEC lawyer, Securities and Exchange Commission, went after lawyers who were hot on the trail of the Clinton Foundation. So this is not just some isolated incident. This isn't just sort of one-off bad text. This is a mindset that occupies the Beltway, where Trump is an occupying enemy force, and everybody here who gets a GS-scale paycheck, pretty much, is part of the resist movement to undermine and eventually terminate, hopefully, in their minds, his presidency.
You know, I was going to mention that little detail, but you reminded me, the wife who's been wronged, shall we say, Peter Strzok, who you just mentioned, some have tracked down her Facebook page and noticed that she belongs to all these left-wing groups, like Blue Whatever and pro-Hillary, all of this stuff. So she herself, of course, the actual wife, is of one mind with him. All right, go ahead.
I was going to say, Sandy, a long time ago, and this is really taking your listeners to a higher level to understand the swamp, James Buchanan is a Nobel Prize-winning economist, and he won the Nobel Prize because he developed something everyone should know called public choice theory. And we all grew up thinking government officials, they serve just to benefit everybody. James Buchanan came up with a theory that, no, they serve in their government capacity to advance their own private interests. And that's what public choice theory is. He won a Nobel Prize for it. And you're watching it manifest in this drama where all these Democrats who work in government are using their power to advance their political interests.
Now, we've discussed Rod Rosenstein before, Christian. We have to discuss him again. He was put in charge of the so-called Russian-Trump investigation collusion, and our Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, recused himself, and really, from my personal experience with him, will not discuss anything related to Hillary or the Russian situation. So you've got a Rosenstein in charge of this, and we know that Rosenstein was the Maryland district or whatever, district attorney, whatever, overseeing the Uranium One deal, which gave 20% of our, not overseeing the deal, overseeing the investigation that knew that there was bribery and corruption in that, and yet has remained silent and has been championing this investigation into Trump so-called collusion. All right, I just wanted to lay the groundwork. So Rod Rosenstein now has refused. He's the one in charge, has been refusing the House the information they're requesting from the Justice Department, the FBI. What say you about that?
Well, it's like Eric Holder's back in charge. I mean, Rod Rosenstein is acting like Eric Holder 2.0. And don't forget, President Trump appointed Rod Rosenstein. Rod Rosenstein is sort of the antithesis of Drain the Swamp. He is the swamp. He's like one of the alligators sitting up on a log, on the swamp on a hot day. I mean, Rod Rosenstein, when I heard he was appointed, I thought, oh, my goodness gracious. And, of course, the same thing could be said, Sandy, as you know, for lots of other appointments. But Rod Rosenstein will think he did absolutely nothing wrong when he was involved in Uranium One and remains involved now. It's only Sessions in his mind that needs to recuse himself. And Rosenstein, because he's such an institutionalist, he loves the Justice Department. The Justice Department is full of noble, high-minded people. All this stuff that the American people now know is a lie. This is the guy who's essentially running the show and allowing Mueller to leak and leak and leak and leak grand jury information and his staff to leak grand jury information that gets into the New York Times, which, by the way, is a crime. Rod Rosenstein is the one letting this spiral out of control, and he is the one who is responsible. And Sessions can't do anything about it because he's recused himself. So everything that's going wrong here, everything that's abusive and partisan, falls on the lap of Rod Rosenstein, the Deputy Attorney General.
All right, so who's going to do something about this, Christian? Because the president can technically fire Rod Rosenstein, correct?
So could Jeff Sessions.
Well, I mean, yes, but if he doesn't know anything, if he's really and truly, and I kind of actually think this is what's happening, that he really is refusing to listen to things because of his own personal integrity. I said I would recuse myself. I'm not listening. I'm not watching. Hear no evil, see no evil. I'm not sure he even knows about this stuff. You think he does?
Right. And look, there's other ways to do this. People close to the president, who essentially wield the power of the president, could tell Rod Rosenstein that it's time to go. And if he doesn't hit the bricks. See, Rod Rosenstein has been getting a Justice Department paycheck for as long as if not longer, frankly, than the New England Patriots have been dominating the NFL since Tom Brady came on board. So this is an institutionalist. This is a guy who loves the DOJ, who loves getting paid by the DOJ, is very comfortable in his role as a federal government employee, and really doesn't want to go anywhere.
Oh, Adam, Christian, I have so many things I want to ask you, and we're going to have to do them quickly because we only have 4 minutes. Just a word on Comey's tweet, let justice roll down. Once he found out that General Flynn pleaded guilty to one count of lying, he tweets out, let justice roll down like a river. Is that even, I know that we both have we have the same feelings of condemnation for Comey, but is it possibly be objective that a former FBI director would tweet that about someone under investigation?
Well, you know, Comey has sort of a wannabe poet trait. Like he likes to rise above it all, it seems. But you know, that's just who he is, and it shows you the sort of nonsense that was apparently going on when he actually had power.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and last question, a big one. Peter Strzok, now we know, ambushed General Flynn in the interview. He didn't even know he was going to be interviewed. He thought they were just coming for security reasons. He comes in and voila, General Flynn is being interviewed by the FBI. Your thoughts about that and how that must have happened?
Well, Flynn should have never done it. I mean, look, I go on national TV and try to tell people about 18 U.S.C. 1001. It's a code citation. It's the law that if you lie to a federal official like the FBI, it's a felony. And that's what sent Martha Stewart to jail. It's what sent lots of people to jail when they didn't do anything else wrong. And so Michael Flynn should know in America you have a Fifth Amendment right to remain silent, and you have no obligation to talk to the FBI. And he should have said, I'm sorry, I'm busy right now. Maybe we can arrange something. I'll have my lawyer give you a call. I mean, that's the right answer to that interview request. Unfortunately, Flynn lied or didn't tell the truth about meaningless stuff. I mean, it was stupid. He could have told the whole truth. As Trump said in his tweet, what he did was not wrong. Administrations, after they win elections, talk to foreign governments all the time. But this is a deep state swamp counterattack that wanted to delegitimize the election after the election. And so they were looking up ways to use criminal law to prosecute their political opponents, which is a third world banana republic tactic.
Well, actually, some intelligence agents and FBI agents are suggesting via Sarah Carter, this is what she's reporting, that this whole interview should be revisited because of Peter Strzok's involvement and the way it evolved. I guess they have been working with General Flynn on security measures, and he thought they were just coming into the office. They were already acquainted. He just chatted with Andrew McCabe. They've been coming frequently. He just thought it was another chat about that. So he really was ambushed, and also we know now Peter Strzok, we know all these things about Peter Strzok. Can it be revisited? Is there any way to do that?
Yes, because, that's a good question, because he's outside of the system now because he's entered a guilty plea. Look, I'm not a criminal defense lawyer. Whether or not you can void out a guilty plea is a question for another guest. But I know he hasn't been sentenced, so I know there's still pending matters. But whether Flynn has the will to fight is also something I can't answer.
Well, and the resources and all the, we both know that he's taken such a hit financially that they put his son in jeopardy. It's just really been disgraceful, honestly, Christian. When you think about the way Huma Abedin and Cheryl Mills were treated, you know, given their laptops, let go free, and Peter Strzok was the one that interviewed them. It really is a shocking miscarriage of whatever justice we have left. J. Christian Adams, always a pleasure. Christian, thanks so much for joining us. You could follow him on Twitter, by the way, J. Christian Adams. And he always writes for PJ Media. He's on Fox all the time, so there's a lot to see when you get into J. Christian Adams' world. Christian, thanks for joining me this morning.
All right. Thanks, Sandy. Bye-bye.
Hey, talk to you soon. Okay, bye-bye. All right, coming up next, General Boykin is going to talk to us about another case that you might not have heard about. So stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Let what you say simply be yes or no. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. According to an Arizona judge, entrepreneurs must serve people in spite of their beliefs and values as the cost of U.S. citizenship. Well, several highbrow designers have come out saying they refuse to design dresses for Melania Trump. Specifically, these designers consider their fashion brands as an expression of their artistic and philosophical ideas because their bottom line is not just about money. One designer even concludes that she dressed Michelle Obama because she shared Obama's values. You see, they have no problem with refusing services to people based on values as long as those values are secular, progressive, and liberal.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
A 92-year-old veteran of World War II joined the Marine Corps at 18 to fight in the war against Japan. Recently, vandals shredded his American flag, and when he tried to stop them, they threw this old man to the ground. Apart from dishonoring a hero that helped secure freedom around the world, the perpetrators forgot the biblical principle that tells us to honor the aged and show respect for them. The Bible teaches us to treat older people just as we want to be treated when we're old. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Having trouble finding just the right Christmas gift? Check out afastore.net. If you have a coffee lover on your list, there's a variety of wonderful American Family coffees and the 10-ounce stainless coffee tumbler. The child in your life, big or small, will love the Ryan DeFrades DVD gift set. And Hope of All the Earth, an American Family Christmas CD, or the music lover. There's something for just about everyone at afastore.net. afastore.net.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. It's been a year like no other year in the history of America. The level of anger just below the surface for most of our population is without precedent. This is what happens when a Christian nation turns its back on God and allows Satan free access. It's not pretty. You, on the other hand, have the choice to be part of the problem or part of the solution. Unfortunately, most Christians are part of the problem by being anything but Christian in their response, degrading themselves to the same attitudes and retorts being used by those who are godless, turning everyone watching them away from God. This is the time to let your light shine in the darkness. As you go the extra mile, turn the other cheek and love on people in the name of Jesus, regardless of whether or not they're lovable. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. For help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Seven of the Supreme Court's nine justices yesterday allowed President Trump's so-called travel ban to go fully into effect. Finally. Even if this is technically just a temporary measure, the size of the majority suggests that lower court rulings to the contrary will also ultimately be overturned by the Supremes. That's good news for the president, but more importantly, it's good news for the presidency and the country. The various suits filed by several state attorneys general and others have challenged the authority clearly vested in the nation's chief executive by both the Constitution and statute to exercise basically complete discretion about who to allow into the United States and who to keep out. Mr. Trump properly seeks to exclude those wishing to do us harm from failed and hostile states. Thankfully, the Supreme Court seems to agree that's his job. This is Frank Gaffney.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the Morning.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. It is Christmas. It's hard to imagine because the beat does go on. But let me just tell you, we have our Christmas wristbands still available. keep Christ in Christmas, not at all anything flippant at this point in our history. We want Jesus, the Savior, to be kept in Christmas, and we need to be able to talk about him and share about him. And so if you, this is a great way to do it. It's a great way to start a conversation. It's a great way to just make a statement when you're out doing what it is that you're doing. You can get a 10-pack of AFA Keep Christ in Christmas wristbands. You can share them. We're asking you to share them with 10 people that Christmas is about Jesus. If you'd like to get those, you need to order by Tuesday, December 12th to make sure you get them by Christmas. The phone number is 877-927-4917. That's 877-927-4917, or visit afastore.net. That's afastore.net. Well, there are a lot of heroes right now. One of them is Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Bakery. His case will be heard before the Supreme Court today. And if you don't know Jack's story, I just want to drop this in so he can tell just a little bit of it. Here he is.
I'm Jack Phillips, and this is Masterpiece Cake Shop. We're in Lakewood, Colorado. I want to live my life as though Jesus Christ were with me all the time, because he is. But I want to live in a way that honors him in everything that I do. All my life, I love to draw, love to paint, love to create all kinds of artwork like that. That was, you know, how I fill my time if there was nothing else to do. When I first graduated high school, I needed a job, went to work in a bakery, found that I loved the entire environment of working in a bakery. And I saw that you could combine the two, the art that I love to do and the art of baking, like, that's just a natural. One day I'll open my own bakery, I'm thinking. Took a while, put away some money, bought some stuff, and here we are. Two men came into my shop one day, and they sat down at our wedding desk, and we have introductions, and they say, we're here to look at our, for a wedding cake, and it's for our wedding. And right away, I'm thinking, I can't help these two guys out because I don't make cakes for same-sex weddings. So I try to politely say, you know, I'm sorry, guys, I don't do cakes for same-sex weddings. They went out, stormed out, flipped me off, swore at me, and then started a campaign against me and sued me.
It was pretty quickly afterwards we started getting phone calls, and then they just started coming, and they were so awful that my dad just took over the phone and wouldn't let any of us ladies answer it.
The case has progressed to where now we're at the U.S. Supreme Court.
All right, that's at least a little bit of Jack Phillips' story. And the Supreme Court will hear his case today. Will he be forced? His business has been cut in half. He stopped making wedding cakes. These Supreme Court cases are not heard quickly. And so Jack and his family have paid a great price for the stand that he has taken. And the decision by the court will not make their decision today. They'll just hear the arguments, and they'll make the decision a little bit later down the pike. And, of course, that decision has such strong repercussions on religious freedom, really, for each and every one of us. And I think all eyes will be looking at Anthony Kennedy, who was the cheerleader for gay marriage and wrote all these opinions talking about their rights. And so, once again, he's sitting on the court and hearing this case about Jack Phillips and not baking a cake for a gay wedding. So we'll see what happens. But there's another story that you might not know about, and it has to do with an Air Force colonel named Leland Bohannon. We've not covered this, and we need to. So I've asked General Boykin, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, who's one of the vice presidents at FRC right now, and a good friend, to tell us his story. General Boykin, thank you for joining us this morning.
Yeah, I'm delighted to be with you.
All right, so the best way to start is just, who is Colonel Bohannon? What does he do in the Air Force?
Well, he's an Air Force colonel at Kirtland Air Force Base, and he has a distinguished career in the Air Force, and was clearly one of those people that was on his way to becoming a general officer, and he was commanding an organization. And I'm an Army guy, so whether it was a wing or something else there at Kirtland Air Force Base, he was the commander, which is really quite an accomplishment in today's military to get command as a colonel.
And so, somehow, it just seems like a very insignificant situation, but it turned into a very significant one when one of his subordinates came to him and asked him to sign a certificate of some sort. What happened?
Well, no, they didn't come to him to ask him to sign a certificate. He had an individual who was retiring, and he signed all the documents for this individual that was retiring from the Air Force. He was given an appreciation certificate for the spouse of this retiring airman, who happened to be a same-sex individual. It was two men. And Colonel Bohannon said, you know, in good conscience, I can't sign this. First of all, this certificate is not required. There is no requirement, Air Force regulation or otherwise, to do this. But as a matter of courtesy and to show appreciation, it is normally done to give the spouse a thank you for their support to the husband or the wife, whatever the case may be. Well, he said in good conscience, because of my faith, I can't sign this. But he got a two-star general. Now, keep in mind, Bohannon's a colonel. He went two ranks up and got a two-star general to sign that so that at the ceremony it would be presented to the same-sex spouse. The same-sex spouse was going to be allowed to be part of the ceremony. That wasn't the issue. But Colonel Bohannon could not personally sign this thing. And when the individual that was retiring found out that Colonel Bohannon had gone to the two-star rather than signing that himself, he filed an equal opportunity complaint, and that's when Colonel Bohannon's world began to fall apart because they relieved him of command. They contacted the Brigadier General's board, telling them not to select him as a general officer. And just being relieved from command is a dead end. You're finished when that happens. This is counter to everything that Donald Trump's executive order dictates. And secondly, it is obvious that because he got a two-star to sign this thing, that this is not about marriage to begin with. It's about shoving this agenda in our face and forcing us to swallow it, and that's what people need to understand.
How long has this been going on? I mean, when did this happen?
Well, this happened back in September, I think, September, October. September, August, something like that.
Okay, and so he filed, as I understand it, sort of a, I don't know what the military term is.
A religious accommodation, Sandy. That is what is in place. If you have an objection to something like this, you asked for a religious accommodation.
They refused it, right?
No, they held it for 6 weeks and returned it without action.
Okay.
So listen, the chain of command there is absolutely wrong. They're absolutely wrong because they could have said no. They could have said no, we're not giving you a religious accommodation. But they knew that they had no grounds to do that, so they sat on it for 6 weeks and then returned it without action. And I can tell you, because I have talked to people at Kirtland, this commander that relieved him, a three-star, was told, don't do this. This man has asked for a religious accommodation. President Donald Trump has issued an executive order that would protect him from being relieved here. Don't do what you're about to do, but this three-star did it anyhow. And it clearly shows the level of discrimination that has arisen in the ranks of our military against Christians, and that is a major task of Donald Trump's leadership to get that reversed.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, one practical thing that's happened is that you have drafted a letter to Heather Wilson, who's the Secretary of the Air Force, and many people have signed it, including myself, Tim Wildman, and others, lots of other people, military people, asking her to pay attention to this. Now, has this letter gone out yet?
We will deliver that and the petition that you and the American Family Association, as well as the Family Research Council, have put together, and I think it's about 80,000 signatures now. We will deliver that tomorrow morning to Secretary Heather Wilson, and there will be the letter with all the signatures on it, and then the petition from Americans that are really concerned about this all across this country.
Yeah, so what is the process here for him? He has a hearing coming up, but it's a military hearing, right?
Well, he is, yes, that's correct. He's being defended by Michael Berry of the First Liberty Institute, and these people, I'll tell you what, they are a godsend in these religious discrimination cases. And Michael, I think, is feeling very good about this case, and they're going to get all of this. I think they're going to get all of this thrown out. But what's key, as far as I am concerned, is that there's got to be a message that is sent to the Air Force, and that's what we want Secretary Heather Wilson to do. The Air Force has got to start thinking in terms of, what do I have to do to protect the rights of my airmen? And right now, they are more concerned about a lawsuit from some atheist organization than they are about the Christian, evangelical, and Catholic community and how they feel about things. But these petitions, I think, are going to help to change that attitude in the Air Force, and we're going to see a whole lot more focus on protecting the religious liberties, because that's what Donald Trump's executive order is all about.
You know, I think that this is probably exhibit A of how the military has not shifted the way it should have shifted after Trump was elected. And I think, you know, the transgender ban, General Boykin, and I just read, what, a month ago that they sent, I don't know if it was a soldier, I'm not sure what branch, someone to have full and complete sex change operation, a civilian outlet. They paid for it. We paid for it with our tax dollars, as though this ban did not even take place. What do you know about that?
Well, because the president gave them until the 23rd of March to figure out an implementation plan on this, everything that was already in progress, it was to continue until the 23rd of March when the president's ban is supposed to go into effect. So, yeah, I saw that. I thought it was really a very sad thing that we're spending taxpayers' monies. And also, as I have said to another people, that my son could not get in the military because he had taken Adderall for attention deficit disorder at 12 years old. But now we've got people that have what I consider to be a very, very serious emotional problem, and I think that is borne out by the facts. But they can come in the military and go through sex change therapy, but my son can't, and I find that just a really, I hate to say unfair thing, but I think that there's no justice in that.
No, and I think our military has so morphed into something that you don't recognize and I don't recognize. It is just really atrophied in terms of its spirit and purpose under President Obama's leadership. And, you know, we're seeing the same thing in civil government, which we talk about all the time. But is there a way, I mean, are you hopeful at all that that President Trump's interjection into this world will sort of move this ship in a different direction?
I am. And the biggest thing that President Trump has to do is he has to bring up new leadership in our military and all the services. And that's the hardest and the part that takes the longest, because you've got to start moving these Obama sycophants out and bringing in some real warriors, some people with proven leadership and combat records, and put them into positions to determine the direction of our military. And that's his hardest task.
Well, and that's one reason why Air Force Colonel Leland Bohannon must come through this process victorious, because men like him can't serve. If they're going to be punished like this, already so many have been purged. You know, we fought you, and I've helped you, but you've been the lead, obviously, on trying to defend so many of these good men. But good men are leaving because they see the tea leaves. They know what's happening, and we must fight for them so that our military can sort of be pulled back from the brink of something it's really quite terrible, and will have real repercussions if we get into a conflict with North Korea or China or Russia or anyone else. We need our fighting force to be strong. Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, thank you so much for joining me this morning, and hope to see you soon.
Thank you, Sandy. God bless you.
Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.